Thanks, guys. Awesome. Why don't you give these guys a big hand clap? Absolutely outstanding. God, we want to thank you for the amazing miracle of your love, the opportunity, Lord God, to come and celebrate your incredible goodness in our lives. This morning, Father, we ask right from the backside of this building to the front, God, that you would show yourself strong in every life. God, those right now that are in the midst of battles, we speak a miracle over your life right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for those who have come to be refreshed today, that right now, Lord, a refreshing anointing fall all over this place. Just really feel that's here for somebody this morning to be totally refreshed in your spirit. That this is a new year and God wants to refresh you for what you've got before you. And I want to say, get ready to walk into that. God's blessing is all over you. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now that you're here to heal, deliver, and set us free, and give us the victory which you won at Calvary, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a big shout this morning. He's awesome. Hey, just right there, if you needed God to touch you, like, I really believe there's just a real anointing in this house for healing, miracles. I consistently hear about miracles and healings. And man, if you need God to touch you physically this morning, just slip your hand up right now. I just sense that right there, right now. Just the goodness of God in this place. Holy Spirit, right now. I don't know if you're here last Sunday night, but with Pastor Lucas, man, just a real anointing in this place, and I feel it here right now. Just look around you quickly. There's a hand up beside you. I want you to put a hand on them. Believe right now for God to touch them physically in Jesus' name. Just take a look around. You can open your eyes for a second. Look around. Get alongside those people. Get alongside them. You're allowed to get out of your seat too. Let's never get too religious where we're glued to our seats. And just pray for them right now. Just believe God for a supernatural miracle to take place right there. I just sense even right now as you're laying hands on, there's an impartation taking place, and that everything we're about this over this last 2 months, we've been talking about you are the light, and I see the light of God's love shining through you and touching physically that body. And in Jesus' name right now, we speak healing, restoration, wholeness, breakthrough. We thank you, God, right now for a miracle. Somebody come here today looking for a miracle. You need a miracle. You need a miracle in your world right now. And God says, here it is right there. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you right now for divine intervention. For somebody here, divine intervention right now. Divine intervention. Been struggling for too long with that thing, and God says, divine intervention today. My power is real right now in your life today, is what God's saying. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just start to thank him now, right across this church. Just start to thank him. Just start to thank him. God, we do thank you. We thank you that you're a miracle-working God. We thank you, God, that you are a healing God. We thank you, God, that you're not some religious God who's contained in a book. But thank you, Lord God, that Christianity has brought your love out of the pages of the book and into the real world. Thank you, God, for that love right now. Let it shine today in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit. In somebody's marriage here today, the struggle you've been going through, God says, if you will push, God says, if you will push through the barriers, the walls, the struggles that the enemy would bring against you, God says, if you will push through, I will energize you and give you strength to overcome. And God's asking that you'd push again. Go for it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 Hey, before you sit, oh, you guys are keen to sit down, eh? I'm still standing. Before we sit down, I have not had a chance to meet Pippa River yet. And she's not even in the building, Brenton's saying. Yeah, well, there you go. But anyway, we're still, regardless of whether she's here or not, we're going to take a moment to get out of our seats and go and give someone a hug and say, hey, it's great to be doing life with you. God bless you. Let's do it. Great to be doing life with you, buddy. I see you guys have been on that video. Great to be doing life with you, man. Great to be in church with you. Good to see you, girl. So good. God bless you guys, eh? Is Frankie not here? He's overseas. Rocker boy baby. Congratulations anyway, mate. Congratulations. Did you get any of those messages I sent you? We've seriously got to hook up those phones. Because I invited you to our Wednesday morning thing. But anyway, I'll get on to you. How are you guys this morning? Good to see you. Beautiful singing this morning, girl. Beautiful. Good to see you, man. Good to be in the house with you. Danielle, look at that. Notebook out, ready to go. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. Okay. Okay, we better get into it. Come on, back to your seats. Back to your seats. Half my preaching time's gone and just saying hello. That's terrible. I've lost a whole lot of time right there, they tell me. Here we go. Ready for the word? Oh, we are. That didn't sound too encouraging. Are you ready for the word? Look, Danielle's got a notebook out. She's ready to go. I was just over there. She's ready to go. Got it all ready to jot down. Because how many know it's usually what you listen, write, and repeat that sticks with you in life. How many know that? It's not just what you listen. If you're just listening, then, oh, forget it. If you actually listen and write, then it's going to mean something in your life. If you listen, write, and do, how many are going to do this morning's message? Let's just get that there, right there. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? What are you scared? You scaredies. Yeah, I don't blame you. That could be rigged, okay? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says this. Page 463 in your normal Bible, okay? On my iPad, it's just the first page. Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation was first announced by the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard him. How shall we escape it, guys, if we ignore it, if we just let it drift on by? It says there that the salvation that we've got, that it was first announced by the Lord, and then people who heard it, evidently wrote it down, because we're all reading it, and then it got repeated. In other words, somebody did it. So the reality of the gospel is powerless if we ignore what Christ intended his word to do in our lives. And I want to challenge you with that a little bit. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, and we've got a great verse there, and I think it's a mission to every church on the planet. This is the mission. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We did that here 2 weeks ago, didn't we? I think 2 weeks ago. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And that's what we're doing this morning. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's a pretty good, like, the mission of the church right there. Go make disciples. Anybody making any disciples right now? Remember, we're going to go, we're going to not only hear this, we're going to write it down, we're going to do it, okay? Pretty challenging, we're going to do it. And I think you all were scared to agree, but you will agree because it's just the word of God I'm preaching, okay? The mission statement that Christ gave us, this is really it. The mission, if you wanted a mission statement that Christ gave, our mission statement right here in the church is transforming lives together, which is very similar to what this is. It's just narrowed down to three words. Transforming means changing people. It means allowing the power of God making an entrance into their life so that they will be transformed. In other words, our theme this month, there it is, light of the world. Thank you for putting that up, incidentally, that transforming lives together. That's why you all knew it. Oh, it was after, okay. Light of the world is our theme over the last 2 months. And really, if we want anybody's life to be changed, it will be the light that comes out of our life that changes people. It'll be what comes out of you. Last week we talked about what's reflecting out of your life. What's reflecting? The thing that reflects changes lives. We talked about that. We talked about how that would be the reflection of your life has an influence and an impact on the people around you, the circumstances you're in, the places you're in. And so here we go right now with Christ giving a mission statement. He said in Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is. So we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? Yeah, thought it might be. Oh, you're too busy writing it down. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 it says, but to each of us a grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So every one of us here has a gift. If you didn't get anything for Christmas this year, who cares? The Bible says you've got a gift from God. The greatest of that is the free gift of salvation, but he also gives gifts. And here's what it says, okay? He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? We'll skip that. He himself gave some to be apostles. I had a guy ring me this week who thought he was, who would like to convince me. He might be here this morning, actually, so who knows? The test will be in the future. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists. I'm wanting to hear if any of these people are here. Let's start again. Apostles. there he is here. Prophets. Evangelists. A lot of those, that's good. Pastors. I don't care whether you've got a title or not. It's like if you've got a heart that can get out of your own world and actually love people, connect with people and love people. Let's try that again. Pastors? Yeah. Okay. And then teachers. Come on, you teachers. Okay. Why? God gave you these gifts. Here it is. A lot of stuff coming from over here. Man, I like that. Anyway, I've lost my place now. Oh, yeah, here we go. He gave these for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to perfect, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine or by the trickiness of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So everybody is necessary. The body don't do too well without some of the small vital organs like kidneys and things. We just don't do too well. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Yeehaw! The Bible talks a lot about what our theme is this month, which is you are the light of the world. The Bible consistently, everything I've read this morning reflects on you being the light of the world. Light was designed to dispel darkness. That's why man invented light. God put the sun and the moon there to dispel darkness. Sun for day, moon by night. He spoke them into being. And boy, the power of the spoken word, when you think of that, God said, let there be light. And before the sun and the moon ever existed, there was light. Before the sun or the moon were ever actually created and put there as balls, there was light, because God says, let there be light. That's the power of the spoken word. We have that same power within us. Light was there to dispel darkness. And so things like lights, candles, torches that we use in the night. Some lights, however, their purpose is to shine, to make known what one normally cannot see when it's too dark. That's what we're all about. We're to help people see the love of God even though it's too dark to see it sometimes. That's why we're the light of the world right now. It illuminates things that we need for our lives to make our lives more beneficial and more successful. Last week I talked about checking your lenses. The reflector, the lenses. This week, I want to talk about your focus. Because if a light is not focused, it will not see what it's meant to see. I want to talk about how we can focus our lives. How, even if you've ever had a warrant of fitness on your car and they've had to adjust the headlight. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah? Anybody, and we have to get, depending on the age of your car, anything up to 6 months, you have to get a warrant of fitness on your car to see that the lights are pointing in the right direction, or it will, those are things it does. If your light's out of line, out of focus, it'll dazzle the driver coming toward you and they'll drive into you off the road or whatever. If your lights are too low, you won't be able to see where you're going. If your lights are too high, you put everybody off. So it's very important what our focus is and what the light of Christ in our life is focusing toward or beaming out toward. Anybody ever towed a load heavier than your car was meant to tow? Like something far more weighty than your Morris Minor was ever designed to tow? Or your Mini Minor? Anybody ever done that? Is the guy here this morning who had a trailer hooked on to his car, he had tied it onto the back bumper and driving down the motorway because it never had a tow bar. Obviously not designed to take a load like that. Okay? Maybe, though, you've had a huge weight on the back, and which I have done, I think, regardless of the car, actually, but you've had a big weight on the back which caused your lights to cause everybody coming toward you to flash you, which will annoy you. In the end, you just leave your lights on full, which is not very Christian, actually. But has anybody ever had that happen, like people flashing you because your lights are apparently too high because of the load in the back or you're towing? Yeah. So you know what that actually means in life. And one of the great keys of operating the gift of shining the light out of your life is that if you're doing it in your own strength and you're carrying too much on you, then your lights will be way too dazzling for the people coming toward you. You meet people like that all the time. People who want to get a message across, and yet it seems that their message is just dazzling you and you do not want that light in your life. Happens all the time. In evangelism, we're all supposed to be, incidentally, go into all the world and make disciples. So we're all supposed to do that. It's not even down to the event. Obviously, we've got gifts here and people who would see themselves as evangelists, but let's never leave it up to the evangelists. The Bible says to every person, Jesus said, his last command, go, make disciples. Nobody left out there, no matter who you are. You might be a teacher, you might see yourself as a prophet or whatever you are. God would say that you are a tool equipped in his hands to take the message which we heard about first and convey it, not just write it down, not just hear it, but to actually repeat it so that the message of the cross becomes the dynamic, world-changing message in our time right now. How many know the world still needs the light of the gospel? So we need to, not in our own strength, you meet people who have just got this horrible, like they're carrying this thing that they've just got to, I've told you the story about the guy sitting beside me on an aeroplane, I'm not going there again, and the guy who put his big black Bible down, bang, and asked me if I'm a Christian, he was just one of those ugly people that was carrying, towing something, or carrying too much weight of some sort of condemning thing that he had to tell me about the light that was on his life instead of just letting me see it. You with me?
Yeah.
And it was ugly. And you get that from time. That's why the light has to be focused. It should be at the right level. It should be not something that dazzles people and puts them off, but it should be the love. We've got two chaplains in the meeting this morning that I have no doubt in their world, if you were to do that, they would not be chaplains for too long. But if you go in and interact with people and bring the love of God through your actions, through your words, through your care, and through your love, you can change the world. I think. We don't sound too, like, on board with that, but I believe it can. So that's why we have to check where we're at every now and then. Just like a warrant of fitness, let's check. Are we still preaching the gospel? Are we still sharing our testimony? Are we still telling people about the love of God? Are we still actually being what the Bible said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person and make disciples? I wonder if we're still doing it. We have to be reminded every now and then. Let this just be a warrant of fitness this morning, maybe. On the last week we deal with, you are the light of the world. Like, not me. Let's not leave it up to Pastor Don. Let's not leave it up to Pastor John or whoever else we can think of who might be the evangelists in the house. Let's not leave it up to them. You. Just touch a person next to you right now. Actually, say you. He's talking about you. Just tap them, because they could be sleeping. You never know. Just tap them. See, he's talking about you this morning. And I believe that the gospel is the greatest message on the planet. And I believe that we will preach it and we will declare the gospel. And in churches like this is the greatest and most effective place for the gospel to bear fruit is right here. Why? Why? Because if you do a study, you will find that very rarely do people come to Christ. Well, I'll put it in our world, in the Western world, very rarely do people find their or embrace Christ in a crusade, some big event that we put on as a city, very rarely. You will find that it's very rarely that people will have that encounter watching TV, and a TV evangelist or something. But you will find that most people encounter Christ in the Western world through a church just like this. That's how I think it's 92% of commitments to Christ are made in a church like this. That's why we've got to be radical. That's why we've got to be excited. That's why we've got to be passionate. That's why we can't arrive at 20 past 10 hoping that God was already there before we came. That's why we've got to have something in us that's incredibly passionate that we are the light of the world. Which is why I said up front, I wonder if we're going to do what we think we're going to hear today. Because sometimes I think we're the light of the world and we want people to be focused on Jesus' love, but if the light shows up half an hour after the darn event started, nobody will be able to see Jesus. Because the reality is most people are looking at you to see Jesus. It's not like they're looking at these screens up here to see Jesus. They're obviously, people are looking at you, me, and the people around to capture a glimpse of what the love of Christ may look like or how it may reflect off your life, that the focus of Christ's love would come off you and get into their spirit and they'll say, I like that, I want to be a part of that. So the importance of actually being a light and being on time is pretty huge. When you're driving a car, you don't want to head off into the night and you push your car lights on and the light comes on 20 minutes down the road. Are you with me? Like it's hopeless if the lights come on when you're halfway to your destination. And I think sometimes we don't realize the significance of the body of Christ that we're all a part of. And we are all a part of it, obviously here because you're a part of it. But the reality is, let's be sold out. Let's be totally focused. And let's say, God, I want my light to shine right from the get-go to the end. Because I think sometimes we miss the incredible effectiveness of what light can do simply because of some delayed timer. The timer on the, oh my goodness, let's throw away the timer and just get on fire all the time and shine bright. Hallelujah. I like what James Oswald Smith said. This is what he said. An atheist, incidentally. But he said, I find very few Christians who really believe that the evangelization of the world is the most important work they have. And I reckon let's prove him wrong. Let's get excited about the passionate power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, people will come and get alongside you and they'll think, if you're not towing or carrying something that's way beyond your capacity and causing your lights to dazzle them in the eye, people will hang around you and think, man, these guys are not weird like the media has told me. These guys are just real and they're cool. They don't have to wear a three-piece suit to get into the presence of God. They just come as you are. Please wear clothes. The reality is of some of this is that the power of the gospel gives you opportunities and there are opportunities available to you right now that are absolutely incredible, friend. Let's not miss what God's got for you this year. Let me just give you some, seeing people like Danielle are taking notes, let me just give you some keys on what I believe some of the values are of how we can have our light focused. Just how we can get our light focused in the right place, okay? And number one is real simple, love people. Just love people. That's not even hard. It's like love people. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. Everybody's welcome. You know, the one thing that a church should be is that anybody in the world should feel welcome and accepted in this place. Nobody should ever feel judged. So don't judge people. Just accept them. Find out about them later on. This is what Jesus said, Luke 19:10, and Jesus said to him, this was, trying to think of the guy's name, up the tree, Zacchaeus, short dude. Zacchaeus was up a tree, Jesus said, today we're having dinner at your place, prophetic word, today, try that when you're just out and about in life. Sometimes you're a lot better to have that, just get a word from God for that person's circumstance. And boy, you'll be amazed what can happen out of that. Absolutely unlock somebody, be the light of God to their world. Okay, here we go. So Zacchaeus, Jesus has lunch with him, Bible doesn't record what was said at that lunch, but it had to be pretty cool. It certainly was focused. It was certainly the love of God, because this guy who was one of the hated people who had been judged by every person in his time suddenly says to Jesus, "Hey, here's what I'm going to do. Just after hanging out with you for a little while, Jesus, I'm going to sell everything I've got and give whatever, half of it to the poor. I'm going to repay everything I've stolen four times, or whatever it was, four times as much I'm going to give as what I took." Imagine that. Imagine the next week in Jerusalem when this guy Zacchaeus turns up at your door, collected your tax last week, overcharged you, took 5K off you, and this time he arrives there and gives you 25K. That would have started a revival right there. That's literally what this guy did. Because the love of God so changed his heart. The love of God is what changes people's heart. So Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham." And then Jesus puts this in verse 10 of Luke 19. Verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Not that which is already found. That which is lost. So let's focus our light on that which is lost, embrace them, love them, and get them into the kingdom of God. And in saying that, I would love to think that our church would be, like, wouldn't it be a great church that's 50% people who don't know Christ yet? Could be a little messy. Could be a little stinky. But then the ark stunk like heck, and it was messy, but it was the only boat afloat. And I reckon the greatest thing you could ever have is a church filled with a whole bunch of people who don't yet know what we know about the love of God, but that we could journey with them. No matter how bad our lives may be, because this is the message we should be able to preach in our churches, no matter how people may view us because of our past or because of our mistakes, no matter how people may view us, we are still valuable to God. And that's why he said, "Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life." I think we should just give Jesus a shout on that one. Oh, you are so valuable to God that he sent his Son. Jesus voluntarily came so that you could be a part of his plan. I think that is flipping exciting. I live excited on that moment. I live my life excited on that moment. That's why the passions never got out. Some people say, "How do you stay passionate? How do you stay on fire?" Simply because of that. Because I know how valuable I am to God. At least we got one value out this morning. I forgot all about Hamish sent us a, "Hi, how are you?" from our church in Singapore. Should we play that now? Yeah, okay, let's play it. Okay, play that right now because I know you guys had it already. Here we go. Shout out from Singapore.
To the dark, hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious."
Inspired Church Albany, it's Hamish here from Inspired Church Singapore. It's so good to see you. Hope you're having an amazing 2018. We're believing it's going to be a phenomenal year. Everyone I speak to are kind of happy that 2017 finished. So keep praying for this year, praying for this church, as we build in New Zealand and Singapore and beyond, and the missions that we touch, like Vietnam and Cambodia, and we do some work in Thailand as well. Where it's just so good to be connected with you. I'll be over next month in February at the Leadership Retreat, so I can't wait to hang out with some of you. And then we're bringing a big team to Inspire Conference in the first week of August. Can't wait to see you there. We'd love to bring our creative team over so that they can get involved, and you know, different ministries, our hosts and different people. We might even be able to, we've got Inspire Boxing happening tonight, so we might be able to do some boxer size and boot camp with you guys as well. Obviously not me. Hey, have an amazing Sunday. Have an incredible week. Can't wait to see you soon.
He is a bad boy. That was absolutely awesome, that was. Just being there for that baptism was just very powerful. There were, incidentally, at that baptism you saw there where that young girl got baptized, her, just talking about church, you know, her mother was like, didn't like church or God, okay? Was disappointed that her daughter was going to church and that her daughter had actually chosen to be baptized. And the daughter didn't want to dishonor the mother, so she wanted the mother's approval. And the grandmother had been praying for the family, and so the grandmother convinced the mother to come to the baptism and let her daughter get baptized. And whilst at the baptism, which was really, really powerful, and that young girl was just a new Christian, and but the mother came up to me and said, I don't know what it is about this group, but this is the best group I've ever hung with. I want to become a part of this group because I can feel the love. That's the light of God focused in a way where the church can do so much when we're all on board. Hallelujah. I'm introducing this year World Changers, and there's some forms out on the desk out there that you can get one and sign up if you want to be a part of that. That will be a selected number of people. And but I just want to, obviously, in a morning like this, there's no way in 35 minutes we can ever cover off a thing just like you being the light of the world or how you can be focused in that. No way it can ever happen. But I do believe that we can become more focused. Hello? We can become more focused. And I would like to challenge you this year that we make an effort this year to become more focused on being a light in our world. This is obviously the last week that we're dealing with You Are the Light of the World, which is almost disappointing to me. But the last week we do say, let's get focused. Next week we move into Behold, which is our vision month. Going to be very exciting. I can hardly wait for next week. I feel so passionately motivated about it. But here's what I do want to say, that we need to get more of this stuff on the inside of us. We need to understand what it is to evangelize our world. We need to understand. I'm introducing World Changers. The forms are out there if you want to apply, and you have to apply to be a part of that. And we will make that course very effective in your life this year. It's going to have huge input and outside input. It's going to have stuff coming into you that will definitely, I want you to catch my heart. It's really about just a bunch of people want to catch my heart, to be honest with you. I don't want you being religious goof-offs. I don't want you being like some sort of academic buzzheads about what we have encountered in the love of God. I want you to encounter the heart of God in such a way that it transforms your world so that you can go the distance, so that you can be committed for the long haul, so that you can run even when the odds are against you, you get up again even when you go down. Because I think that's what it's all about. If you follow Jesus carrying his own cross up to Calvary, nothing could stop him. Let's be unstoppable this year. And next week we're launching into Uncharted Waters. We've got a whole, I was just looking at all the themes we've got for every month this year. the theme, starting with Behold, Uncharted. Man, look, lift up your eyes. Let's have a look. Let's have a look where we're going. Let's have a look where you're going. Let's start with some, let's get a blank. Some of you need a blank canvas. Anyway, we're finished. That's it for today. You got, I think I gave you one value, did I? The others I could give you. Let me just rattle them off. This is the last week. Hearing God. Make sure you know how to hear God. Number three, make sure you value people because you are valued. You are valued. God demonstrates his love toward us in that, well, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Creator loves you enough. In fact, he loves you so intensely that he allowed his own son to die in your place. You are valuable, man. Let me tell you how valuable you are. Time. Take a little bit of time. Take a little bit of time. Chill out. Take a little bit of time just to get alongside people. And the Bible says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Where is that? Colossians 4, 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Get uncomfortable. Hello? Get uncomfortable. I think sometimes we're in a comfort zone and it's stopping us from being what we could be. Generous. Be generous. I tell you what, if your light is like flickering on the edge of just about going out, and if I blow on it and it goes out, snuffed out by the breath of a person alongside you, then I would say you need to get more generous about the kind of light you're showing. I just believe there's nothing like a good, generous light. Turn the lights on. You don't want a flickering thing. They did away with those flickering old things in the corner of the room. We put real lights in the ceiling that light the room up. So don't flicker away. Yeah, there we go. Right there. Thank you, Alex. You're a legend. Just like that. Boom. There it is. Not flickering away. Not look like it's going to go out any second. Be generous. Guy in the book of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, wasn't born again. Wasn't really a Christian, but when the angel of the Lord appeared to Peter, he said, oh, God wants you to go tell this guy Cornelius that God has heard his request because of his generosity. Not because of his godliness, not because of his sticking to every jot and tittle of the word, not because he did everything so flipping precisely, but just because he was generous. I'd soon have a generous person any day of the year. Be generous. Be connected to the word. Be in prayer. Let me just finish with this. Prayer. So this Wednesday, we're declaring an open heaven over Auckland City. This Wednesday. Make a choice. You go see City Impact's movie that night, I think. Or you go pray with the city. We're expecting 10,000 people. Just got together with some pastors in the city this week. We're expecting 10,000 people to come and pray at the ASB Stadium. So I would encourage you to come with us, if only when you can. And let's go pray. Because prayer causes your light to be brilliant. Prayer is the end. Let's pray over our city that there. We've called it Open Heaven. And we're believing for an open heaven over New Zealand, yeah, but definitely over our city. Come and pray with us on Wednesday night. The movie will still be there the next night. Okay? Just, you know, you can watch a movie anytime. Get it off 1, 2, 3 movies or whatever. Amen. Got to finish. Hey, guys, I really do want you to do what I said today, and that is to apply it in your life. And listen, don't get ugly about it. Just be the light of the world. This is our last week. Be the light of the world. It'll be in your attitude. Your attitude is huge, man. If you've got a stink attitude, please snuff that light out right now. Let's pray for you that God would snuff your stinking light out because of your attitude, if you've got an attitude. Because your attitude will never help take the gospel. If you've got an ugly attitude, sort it. Then you can be the light of the world. And an attitude, a good attitude is a free attitude. good attitude is a loving attitude. A good attitude is an accepting attitude. A good attitude is a caring attitude. A good attitude puts people before your own concepts. Those are a good attitude, okay? So let's be people with a great attitude that have a very focused light that brings the love of God into people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we want to thank you today that we can be a light of the world. Thank you, Lord God, that we can, as Romans 12:2 puts it, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may become that light which would shine into people's hearts and bring hope in Jesus' name. God, we pray for your touch on our lives. We pray for your revelation in our spirit. And God, I pray that today, Lord, every person in this place may know the incredible life-changing power that would fusion them, that would connect them, that would refresh them to shine and be focused in this next season in Jesus' name. God, we thank you right now. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe you're in this meeting today and you've never had the opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want to know your love in my heart. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know the power of your loving light that takes away my pain, takes away my hurt, takes away my disappointment, and gives me a hope for eternity. If that's you today and you need to get right with God, maybe you're backslidden and away from God and you're saying, man, I need to just get right with God today. Maybe today you're here and it's the first time you've ever been in church. We don't want to put any pressure on you, but I want to give you the opportunity today to respond to the love of God. If that's you, real quick, lift your hand if you come into any of those categories today. Pastor Don, I need to get right with God. Pastor Don, I need to make a decision to invite Jesus into my heart. Pastor Don, I need the forgiveness of God in my life this week. I never knew how valuable I was, but today I've come to a revelation that I am valuable to God, and I want to make that right with him right now, if that's you. Real quick, just slip up your hand if that's you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I finish, here's what I'd love to do. I'd like to ask today's message, be the light of the world. The last 2 months, be the light of the world. The reality at the end of this month, which is today, to actually put some action to it. I'd like you to stand with me if you're believing that you can be a more focused light, carrying a more clear message so that people don't lose their way in life and they find hope and can see their destiny. I want you to stand with me if you want to be more focused in carrying that light this year. And in Jesus' name, right across this place, for every person that's standing, God, lift up your hands toward heaven, would you? I want to impart something to you this morning. I dissolve right now. I break any fear, any doubt, self-doubt, condemnation that would restrict you and hold you back from being the light that God has declared you could be. And I pray that you would be light carriers. In 2018, that you would be a carrier of the light of the love of God. That you would invite people, that you would embrace people, that you would include people, and that you would touch people's lives with the love of heaven in Jesus' mighty name. God, I pray over all of your great people this morning. Fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit and power to be incredible evangelists. In Jesus' name, amen.